It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Derek Brown. With me today on this show, we got some really special guests in the house. We're going to be talking about the FFPC Playoff Challenge. First, I got to get my bud, my guy, my bunkmate at Senior Bowl up in here, Chris Wecht. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Wecht FF. He is the data analyst, lead football charter over at FTN and FTN Data. This dude has been doing all kinds of the heavy lifting. Had to pull him out from behind the curtain like the Grand Wizard of Oz for this show. Chris, what's going on, man?
Hey, Derek, how's it going? Excited to be here. Do my first FTN podcast, talking some fantasy playoff football here.
Dude, this is going to be fantastic because I'm excited to talk about all this. I've been playing this playoff challenge for the last 2 to 3 years. So excited to dive through a lot of the work that you and Matt Jones have done. Shout out to Matt Jones over at FTN, breaking down strategy, a lot of different ways to approach this. And I got to get the man of the hour up in here. FFPC's media coordinator, Eric Balkman. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric Balkman. Eric, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me aboard. I'm excited to be here. We're only days away from the kickoff of the NFL playoffs, which we're, you know, obviously all looking forward to the duration, seeing some great football and maybe making some coin along the way. I think that's the idea.
I mean, and that's a fantastic intro to this playoff challenge, man. I mean, we have got two massive contests, and for everybody out there that has not heard of the FFPC playoff challenge, I don't know where the hell you've been, because the buzz has been palpable about all of these contests. Walk us through this, Eric. I mean, I know we got two playoff challenges up on the site. What are the differences?
Yeah, I mean, the original, the world-famous FFPC Playoff Challenge has been in existence essentially under the FFPC umbrella for like the last 14 years. It's actually a little bit older than that. One of our co-founders, Alex Kaganovsky, ran a contest that mirrored this contest. And obviously, it's evolved over the years, but just with his buddies in like a private league, and then that expanded out. Then once the FFPC came into existence in 2008, he brought this playoff challenge along, and it is, you know, gotten bigger and better every single year. Right now, it is a $500,000 grand prize, $100,000 for the runner up. It's a super deep prize pool. We pay down to 850th place this year, which is a record. And the other one, it's $200 to join. Now, if you don't want to do 200, maybe you want to do a bunch of teams, you could join the Football Guys Playoff Challenge, which is only $35 to enter. That one still has a $500,000 prize pool, but still a $100,000 grand prize. So you can turn your $35 into $100,000. These contests are exactly the same in format. It is a normal FFPC lineup, which is a quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, a tight end, a kicker, defense, and then normally a flex. But we've actually added on to it this year. Actually, last year was the first time we added on to it, with two bonus flexes because of the two extra teams in the playoffs that were added. So now we have four flexes in this format instead of just the two flexes. And the Football Guys Playoff Challenge, the exact same thing. The beauty of this is it's super simple. I mean, you can enter this so many times and, you know, fill out a lineup, takes a couple of minutes to do, and you never have to monkey with it the rest of the playoffs. Once you build your team and that first wildcard game kicks off on Saturday, that is your lineup locked in the whole way. You'll acquire points along the way. And then if you're lucky enough to get a couple of players in the Pro Football Championship, AKA the Super Bowl, can't say Super Bowl for business purposes, but for that game, those players will get double points in that. So if you make it that far and get two players in there, they're going to get double points in the Super Bowl. Now, the other thing to keep in mind too with this is you can only pick one player per team. There's no drafts. There's no salary cap. You can pick whoever you want, but you can only pick one player for team. So if you go with Tom Brady as your quarterback, can't take Mike Evans or Lombardi Lenny Fournette as your running back. You can only pick one. So this is super simple to put together, but it's maddening, guys, trying to figure out the correct lineup that's going to win the whole thing. And I think that's what makes it so fun.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic format. And talking about having those 12 roster spots, with the 14 NFL playoff teams, you're going to be hard fading two teams. Basically, right. There's two teams that are not making that cut, and you're as well, you're kind of soft fading two other teams because you're playing their kicker and their defense. So it's you're basically saying, okay, those guys are probably not going to have a ceiling week, or we're going to talk about strategy and stuff. Maybe they get knocked out in the first round, so they're not going to accumulate as many points for your team down the road all the way through this.
Not to throw a monkey wrench into that, because you're totally right with everything mm-hmm. you said. However, a couple of years ago, that was more than a couple of years ago, Seahawks-Broncos Super Bowl, right? Seattle defense just went scorched earth in the playoffs and then obviously destroyed Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl. The team that won, I think we only had a $200,000 grand prize back then, but the team that won, Seattle defense, was his Seahawk. So he ended up, maybe he was trying to fade him, but the accidental fade got him a six-figure payday. So it can work out that way too sometimes. I wouldn't recommend it, kids, though.
No. And that's a great point, because there's so many different ways to build lineups, and we're going to roll through strategy. And some of this is, okay, what positions am I most worried about? Again, we're talking about this as FFPC scoring, so not only everything that we've laid out already, but it's tight end premium too. So they get a point and a half per reception. So looking at scoring, format, teams, who makes the Super Bowl and trying to get your best players through to the end game for the double points. I mean, Chris, diving through all of this, man, I love the format. Any tidbits that I missed or things that, like, before we kind of get to your article and we dive into strategy, any big takeaways with all of that?
No, I think you covered all the rules pretty well, understanding all those. The Super Bowl double points is obviously a big one. I know Eric brought up that the defense won someone the tournament one year, but obviously this day and age in the NFL and in general, defenses aren't going to give you the most points. So you really got to think about what position can get you those most points. And especially if you think about the tight end being 1.5 point per reception, that goes to 3 points per reception in the Super Bowl versus for a wide receiver or running back, it's only two. So you're getting, not only is it a premium, it gets really premium in the Super Bowl, and that can influence your decision about how you're thinking about how some of these teams advance and how you might want to structure your teams.
Yeah, I mean, you and Matt went through all the data with FFPC. The article is live over on FTN Fantasy right now. People need to go check it out, as well as Tyler Lochner's piece where he rolled through a little bit of strategy, as well as laying out the contest and a few of his picks. Start us off, man. I mean, diving into the strategy for this contest, what were your high-level takeaways and what did y'all find?
So the data I looked at basically was taking the top 150 teams for the past 2 years. You go farther back than that at the tournament, the rules and stuff shift a little bit. And then last year we added the two teams. So there was really three major takeaways from the data that I saw. The first thing at a high level was just I wanted to see how many average games played by each position that you roster. The top two by far were your quarterback and tight end. And if you think back to the past 2 years, we had Tom Brady with his crazy run last year. We had Travis Kelce the past 2 years. So those are the players that are really influencing those numbers. And then at the bottom of those positions, it's your kicker and your defense are playing your least games. They're generally teams that you don't think are going to advance very far. And then you got running back and wide receiver in the middle. But yeah, so your quarterback and your tight end, I think, are really the two positions where you got to think about how far this team can actually go. You don't really want your quarterback to be a one and done quarterback. In 2019, we did see a lot of top 150 teams with Lamar Jackson on it, and he only played one game, but he also had to drop 34 points against the Titans in 2019 to make that okay and for those teams to survive. But in general, you want, you know, your Mahomes, your Brady, maybe your Rodgers. We'll talk about some other guys, I'm sure, too. But those are the guys you probably want in your QB position. After that, started looking at, you've got four flex positions, which is a lot and gives you a lot of options. The only things you can't use there are another QB or kicker or defense. In general, the past 2 years, you want at least three running backs and three wide receivers on your team. So that's going to take up two of your flex spots right there. From the top 150 teams, I've only seen 9% of them contain more than one tight end, which I think is pretty telling. I do think this year there may be some viability to going that route with the number of elite tight ends we have between Kelce, Darren Waller, George Kittle, Dallas Goedert, Dalton Schultz has had a great year. There's a lot of guys that might be able to outscore some running backs and wide receivers. And getting back to that running back position, there's also not a lot of workhorse running backs this year in the playoffs. So maybe you get to that third running back and maybe you fill up with an extra tight end and then go wide receiver the rest of the way. The other thing to note is because the four flex positions only existed for 1 year, we haven't seen a lot of teams with five or six of running back or wide receiver, but there definitely could be worlds where five wide receivers make sense as long as you're structuring that team correctly. Really, you don't need to get cute in too many different ways. You don't want to be playing these secondary and third options on offenses. You want to stick to your Davante Adams, your Cooper Cups. There's really no reason for you to get into Marquez Valdes-Scantling, into Odell Beckham, stuff like that. Because if those teams, first of all, those are some of the best teams in the playoffs this year. And if they fail, their best guys are still going to get the ball. The Packers aren't going to be losing in a game and then just go away from their best player. They're not going to just stop throwing the ball to Davante Adams. And the data backs that up. So in 2020, Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams, Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, Travis Kelce were all on over 74% of the winning teams. Guys that were all under 9%, Kareem Hunt, Corey Davis, Nyheim Hines, Chase Claypool, these guys that were not the top guys at their positions. Where you want to get cute and diversify is these teams that have kind of a 1A and 1B type players at wide receiver and running back. This year, your Chase and your Higgins, or Chase Edmonds and James Conner, those kind of things. Maybe you can go a slightly different quarterback than everyone. Maybe you don't want to play Mahomes. You don't want to play Brady. You don't want to play Aaron Rodgers. Or Josh Allen is another big one this year. Maybe you can go with Joe Burrow or something like that and get different that way and try not to get too different in too many different places. You probably want to be, I don't want to say eating the chalk, but you don't want to be playing a ton of contrarian plays in like five or six spots on your lineup.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely easy ways when you're building these lineups for you to galaxy brain your way out of stuff where it's like, okay, well, everybody's going to play Cooper Kupp. I can't play Cooper Kupp. Everybody's going to play Davante Adams. There's no way I can play Davante Adams. Like, Erica, you're looking at all these contests and these teams and stuff. Like, it's kind of crazy to fade Davante Adams and Cooper Kupp in this format, right? Like, I mean, come on. We're not going to see anybody take it down and not have Adams and Kupp or at least one of those guys, huh?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that people who are uninitiated to this contest, who've never played in it before, once they understand, oh my goodness, there's, you know, thousands of teams in this. How do I beat everybody? Oh, I got to be crazy here. I got to go with some zany, crazy receiver running back where I need the lead guy to go down. And if that happens, and this guy blows up, then I really got a real shot of winning thing. That's not necessarily the case. And I think Chris's data backs that up too. If you look at last year, I'm going to Steven Rannigan, who I mentioned earlier, his winning $500,000 lineup. You tell me who the crazy wild card long shot is on this team. He had Brady as his quarterback, Chubb and Kamara at running back. He did go with six receivers, Adams, AJ Brown, Marquise Brown, Chase Claypool, Stephon Diggs, DK Metcalf, and then Kelce, Matt Gay, and the Washington football team at defense. There's not a Valdes-Scantling there, right? There's not a Beckham on that team. Like Claypool, you could probably make a case for. I get it. But mm-hmm. still, you gotta be different a little bit. And I think that most winners, not all, but a lot of the people who've been successful in this contest do build up a fairly chalky lineup, and then they tweak two, maybe three positions mm-hmm. just to get a little variation. And when I say tweak, I don't mean going for the third string running back or something insane. You don't want to do that. You got to have guys that – I would never suggest to somebody, hey, submit this lineup, but for one of the spots, base one of it on some guy going down. To me, that's silly, and I would never recommend that. But I think if there are close guys, Chris, you mentioned a couple of them, Connor and Edmonds, you know, I think that's interesting. I think Higgins and Chase, that's very interesting too, because it can kind of go either way. Cooper and Lamb, I think you can make the case, or throw Dalton Schultz in the net too with the tight end premium scoring. I think that all these things are something that you should be thinking about. So if you're going to, you know, there's obvious guys. You mentioned Kupp and Adams, right? Like, those are obvious, right? And I think once you fill out your team with the quote-unquote obvious guys, you're just making decisions on the final few, this thing gets a little bit easier. Still maddening, but it definitely gets a little bit easier when you're trying to formulate a winning lineup. And you definitely do not need to go with several long shots to win this. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of the contest where we sat back and we looked at a lineup that was the winner and we said, oh my goodness, he hit on all these crazy late rounds. It doesn't work that way. It has never worked that way. I can't imagine it's going to work that way this year.
All right, Eric. Well, I guess I'm removing JJ Taylor and bringing in Bolden from the player exposures.
I don't know if any NFL teams are carrying two kickers. Don't pick the backup kicker for a team and hope for the best there. Like that's enough. Like people will try anything, right? They will try anything. Golly. And that'd be one of them.
That's just craziness. And that's really what we wanted to dive out. And well, I wanted to lead this off because I think that people, like you're talking about, Eric, like they're going to look at this and they're going to say, okay, especially like the larger field, like, okay, how in the hell am I going to beat 15,000 people? I mean, you look at this and part of its DFS strategy just in general, like you don't have to just fade all of the chalk. Like you don't have to sit here and say, okay, well, he's going to be 90%, can't play him. That doesn't mean that he doesn't make the damn optimal.
Right.
So you really don't have to get that cute. And we're looking at contrarian angles. We've mentioned a few of them, and I'm going to lead this off here because I want to get y'all's takes about some of these contrarian angles. I think Amari Cooper is somebody that I'm going to prioritize over CeeDee Lamb. Chris, I know you were talking about projections you're kind of stewing with right now. Where do you see the difference between Cooper and Lamb? Because honestly, and I've started my work for the game by game for over at FTN Daily, so I like Cooper. I'm just going to leave it at that. I like him a lot in this matchup, and I think he could start the playoffs out with a bang here. But what are your thoughts on him, and lead us into your contrarian guy?
Yeah, Cooper was a guy that I was also gravitating towards, so hopefully not everybody is thinking that because then he won't be very contrarian. So I've been working on some projected ownership numbers, and currently I've got CeeDee Lamb around 21-ish% and Cooper around 14. So there's a 7% difference there. Nothing crazy. I don't believe there's any reason to go down to like Cedric Wilson. I know people. Yeah. There's going to be some people that throw him in there. There's just no reason. But yeah, CeeDee gets all the love. CeeDee, you know, he's always the more expensive option in DFS. He's always everyone's preferred stack option with Dak. But Cooper, mm-hmm. Cooper's still got it. He's still getting plenty of targets. That offense is going to pass the ball enough. There's no reason that Cooper can't have a blow up game over and CeeDee just, you know, has a mediocre game. In terms of Dallas, I still do think Zeke is going to be the most popular player just because of the lack of workhorse running backs and people just, they're going to see those two running back spots and be like, ah, who do I want to put in here? And you know, they may not want to do a Chase Edmonds or James Conner and that kind of stuff. And they're going to say, all right, well, at least I know Zeke's going to touch the ball. But yeah, so I think Cooper's a good contrarian option. Another one that I've been thinking about is at the quarterback position, actually. I kind of been thinking about Joe Burrow as the QB option. I think Mahomes and Josh Allen will probably be the most popular QBs. So Burrow is kind of a nice leverage point because people aren't going to want to pick him to go through the AFC. But if you look at the way the playoffs can play out, Allen and Mahomes could run into each other in the divisional round. So one of them is going to have to go down. Whereas if the Bengals win, they go to Tennessee, who a lot of people don't view as a very deserving one seed. They could go in there, win that game. Then they get into a shootout with maybe the Chiefs, who we just saw them play, and Burrow had over 400 yards and how many touchdowns? Like that game could easily play out that way again, or at the very least, he puts up good enough numbers to get your team into the right position, and then you just hit on some other plays, and you've got a winning team.
Well, and I think the good thing with Burrow, and you kind of mentioned this, especially looking at the double points and stuff, like your highest scoring positions, a quarterback, tight end, like, if you happen to hit the nuts and like the quarterback and the tight end you pick are the ones that get to the Super Bowl, I mean, this also has to be talked about. Like, how do you approach this, like, versus not only just across positional pieces, because FFPC, we're talking about tight end premium and such, but also like looking at the favorites and trying to figure out, okay, who am I going to pick? Like, if I'm going to prioritize quarterback and tight end, am I going with an AFC quarterback versus like an NFC tight end? And looking at those strategy points as well, because it's interesting. Like, even if you just look at betting odds in Vegas and stuff, like, your obvious favorites that are all, like, below plus 200, I mean, Green Bay, Kansas City, and Tampa Bay are all plus 350 or lower to make the conference, to be the conference winners and make the Super Bowl. So it's like, do you take a long shot at a quarterback, and do you weigh that positional, or I guess how popular they are? Because Burrow is going to come in, what, less than Chase and Higgins, right? Like, he's going to be third in that?
Yeah, I've got him at fourth at like 12%. I got Mixon, Chase, and Higgins all 20% or higher. So Burrow's not. And
which you're actually, you play Burrow, you're getting exposure Chase and Higgins through by playing Burrow. So if they throw, even if Chase and Higgins go nuclear, okay, that's great, but so is Burrow.
Yep. Basically, the only thing you're hoping for is that we don't see the Jamar Chase 50-point fantasy game that we saw a few weeks ago. It just gets spread around, which happened almost every other week this season. Totally in the realm of possibility.
And you know it's 2021 when we're talking about the AFC playoffs lining up to set up the Bengals for a Super Bowl appearance, right? You know, like, oh, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, if one of those guys is going to take the other one out, all Burrow has to do is beat Derek Carr, Ryan Tannehill, all of a sudden he's in the AFC championship game. And, like, I kid about that, but that, I mean, there's a more than a non-zero chance of that happening. So that's a great point, Chris. So, like, when you talk about trying to figure out which Bengal to do, everybody's going to be killing themselves taking Jamar Chase, in my opinion. And then you have some people are going, maybe everybody's going to Chase. I'll go Higgins. Then there's obviously the volume guys that are going to say, oh, it's got to be Mixon. Well, Burrow is the guy that really collects all that. And if they do get to the Super Bowl, I think that's going to be there's going to be Rodgers teams, right? There's going to be Brady teams. There's going to be Kyler Murray teams and even Stafford to Prescott to a certain extent as well. But you get Burrow, who's got a really good shot at getting to the Super Bowl. I think you can make a lot of hay that way.
I agree. I mean, he's one of the contrarian angles I'm taking as well, looking at just some of these dark horse teams that could, like, if you're looking, again, back to betting odds, I mean, Cincinnati is plus 700. So, like, there are, we see this year over year, Eric, like, there are teams that get upset in the first round that we are like, oh my God, how did the Chiefs just lose to the Steelers? Not saying that's going to happen, people. I don't think so. But if you're looking at the teams in the first round, are there any teams that kind of stick out to you that you're like, oh, there's a chance that they get bounced? And if that's the case, one of these popular players is going, bye-bye.
Yeah, I think the big one for conversations I've had with players is it almost seems like everybody has just buried the Cowboys. And it's probably, we're prisoners of the moment, right? The Niners have been on this incredible tear here in December, now January. And I get it, but they still have to go to Dallas and beat not only a loaded Cowboys team that, you know, doesn't have Gallup, but still has Elliott and Pollard and Schultz and Lamb and Cooper and all these guys. But the defense, too. Like, nobody talks about the defense of Dallas, where they have Micah Parsons, who's not only a legit Rookie of the Year candidate, Defensive Player of the Year candidate. Dallas hasn't had this defense before. So I think, really, if you're talking about burying the Cowboys right away, I think that we might be going a little bit overboard. Now, that's probably the pick du jour of like, the upset in the first round. I don't know if the Raiders beat the Bengals, that's necessarily a huge upset. Same thing with the Cardinals and the Rams, right? And I guess it's very hard for me to see a world where the Steelers or the Eagles come away in the divisional round this year too as well. So I think you can never write the Patriots in the playoffs off, even though they're in Buffalo. I think that's an interesting one. No Brady, they still got Belichick. They still have that defense that shut down the Bills. And I know it was, you know, a blizzard or whatever it was, but that did happen this year. So I think that's a potential possibility there too. So you think about the Patriots, well, who could I exploit there? If I think that they're going to get the upset, and probably not Mac Jones or Jacoby Myers, Damien Harris, Hunter Henry, tight end premium, I think that would make a lot of sense there too. So I think the 2-3-6 games for me are very, very intriguing.
I love, love, love that call, because that's exactly where, if you didn't hit on that, that's where my head was going, because I think Buffalo is one of the teams that, like, if a lot of people are playing Josh Allen, Chris talked about him being popular, then they could be dusted from the hilt. Like, Buffalo getting knocked out in the first round, I think, is absolutely in play. And I like the Damien Harris call, because we're going to see a lot of people. Okay, Chris talked about Zeke being popular. We know Mixon has garnered a lot of volume down the stretch. They play the damn Raiders. We don't think that they're going to move on. He's going to be popular. But these 1A, 1B committee backfields and stuff like that, like Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, Harris is a little bit banged up. I'm not saying to go to Ramondre, but like, I like Harris a lot. And these running backs that can be the engine for their teams. Like, if New England moves on, it's probably on the back of Damian Harris. Also leading into, and I don't want to steal this from Chris, but leading into, if San Francisco moves on and they do beat the Cowboys, I think it's going to be a lot of the Elijah Mitchell show. And I think that he, you're looking at the format, Chris, like, I think weighing some of these contrarian options, whether it's positional versus these elite tight ends, like Kittle in this format is going to be much more popular. And if people aren't playing Kittle, they're probably saying, oh, well, I'm going to go Deebo Samuel. Nobody wants to play Jimmy Garoppolo, so let's just get that out of the way. But I think Elijah Mitchell is going to be third on that totem pole. I mean, do you disagree?
Oh, absolutely. Mitchell is easily one of my favorite contrarian plays in this whole thing. I do agree that it seems like the Niners are, like Eric said, that a lot of people are picking the Niners over the Cowboys to win. And yeah, I mean, that does make it feel like maybe it's becoming too cute. But at the same time, there's definitely some validity to that. Kyle Shanahan's been to the Super Bowl. He knows how to get his team there. And how are they going to do it? It's going to be Elijah Mitchell. We saw Raheem Mostert be one of the most popular players 2 years ago on winning teams, and nobody wanted to pick him because it was the Kyle Shanahan offense and they didn't know who the guy was. This year we know the guy.
Weren't they a road dog as well? Well, I mean, I don't think they were the favorites walking into that game either.
I don't think so.
I think San Francisco just steamrolled them, and Green Bay was the one that was favored.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we didn't know who the guy was that year, and no one wanted to use Mostert. Well, now we know who the guy is this year. Mitchell continues to get 20-plus touches a game, and still people are going to want to do Deebo, who absolutely deserves some play. But a lot of people are going to want to do Kittle, and I don't really know why. Kittle, we know Kittle is an elite tight end. He absolutely is. And in this format, he absolutely could put up a huge score. But Kittle also hasn't had a season like we've seen from him in the past. He had a couple very big blow-up games late in the season that is going to be fresh in everybody's head. But when there's Deebo, there's Kittle, there's Elijah Mitchell, there's Brandon Ayuk, we've seen Juwan Jennings start to show up. There's a lot of ways where I don't necessarily want to be picking a popular guy that isn't Deebo Samuel on this team. And if I'm going with a guy that I can get some leverage on, it's going to be Elijah Mitchell.
When you say you don't know why people would pick Kittle, and I get that, and you laid the point out for Mitchell and Samuel, but I'll say this, and this is what I've learned in the FFPC. There is a certain amount of people, significant plurality. People just go crazy for tight ends. Like it's, you know, obviously the tight end premium, that makes a lot of sense. But like, you know, we broadcast on the High Stakes Fantasy Football or the FFPC Pros versus Joes contest every single year. And in that, like, there's always somebody that starts off with like Kelce Kittle Waller or Kelce Kittle Andrews or something, you know, like people there, again, it's not everybody, but there's a lot of people that cannot get enough tight ends on their roster. And now you have this playoffs, right? You have Waller and Knox and Henry and Freiermuth and Kelce and Gronkowski and Dalton Schultz and George Kittle, and the list goes up. There are so many tight end options that there's going to be people that are just going to, especially people who buy multiple entries, that are just going to pile up the tight ends, right? And to their own detriment if they don't want Mitchell or Samuel or any other 49er on their team. But I'll tell you this, if there's one thing I've learned, is that the people who play in the FFPC, a decent number of them, cannot get enough tight ends on the roster. And that includes the playoff challenge.
Yeah, I like that call. And I mean, Eric, if you're looking at all these premium tight ends and these guys that are going to get 18 to 20% target shares, they have massive ceilings. Do you think Zach Ertz kind of gets lost in the mix there? Like, is he going to be what, the fourth, maybe fifth most popular guy? Or do you think he's going to be more popular in this than I'm giving him credit for, considering Arizona's kind of a quagmire? Like, they're one of the teams, like, if I wasn't going to go Buffalo, I mean, I think Arizona's another easy target to say maybe they're one and done.
You know, the other thing to keep in mind with Ertz, and I'm just thinking about this out loud right now, you know, the Rams have such a good pass rush. And to me, a way to negate that is, one, get Kyler Murray in space, right? But two, quick dump offs, right, to Ertz, and get the ball out of Kyler Murray's hand right away. And you know, I don't know. Do we know? We don't even know if Hopkins is going to be back, right? Is that still a thing?
I haven't heard anything definitive that he's even going to be back. That again, that's another player that, like, if I'm making lineups, like, I think it's getting too cute if you're wanting to play Hopkins right now. Like, there's no way. Like, you're burning. It's negative EV.
And so if you're not going to go with one of the running backs, I mean, Kirk, I guess, maybe, but not AJ Green. But Zach Ertz is very interesting, especially if you, like, what if you're thinking, okay, I believe, and not everybody does it this way, where they set the playoff bracket with the teams, how they think it's going to go, and then work backwards. But what if you think Arizona beats the Rams, you know, and then they move on? And they, quite frankly, they should have beaten the Green Bay Packers earlier this season. And I know they had Hopkins in that game too, but what happens if they come to Lambeau? All of a sudden you're talking about the Cardinals in the championship game, NFC championship game. And you probably have Zach Ertz piling up at that point, maybe 20, 25 targets and tight end premium. And not a lot of people are going to have him. I think fourth or fifth, Derek, is probably where I'd be looking at him. As far as tight end ownership wise, you know, everybody's going to love Gronk and Kelsey and Kittle and everything. But Ertz, I think, is an underrated guy that not a lot of people are talking about.
I mean, we can go down the board. I mean, Kelsey's going to be more popular than him. Gronk is going to be more popular than him. Schultz is going to be more popular. Hell, I even think that people might say, okay, well, if I'm not playing Josh Allen in tight end premium, and I'm looking at the Patriots the first round, okay, well, maybe they lock up Diggs and blah, 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 blah. Then Knox is probably, I mean, Chris, you're typing up projections here. We're talking about spreadsheets, my friend. Like, where's Knox coming in at versus even Ertz? Is he a little bit less popular or more? Like, we're seeing for him right now, or at least projecting.
I've got Kelsey as the most popular tight end, obviously. He's going to be on, like, almost half the rosters, if not more. Then Kittle, like we already talked, at around 20. I've got Gronk and Ertz about the same, around 18-19%. Gronk runs into the issue of having Mike Evans and a healthy Leonard Fournette with no Ronald Jones. Now people are probably going to gravitate towards. Then you got Schultz, and then I got to keep going. I've got Dawson Knox at like 1-3%, something like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Between Josh Allen being as popular as he will be, Stephon Diggs is going to be the next guy, if not more than Allen. And then you can't forget about Devin Singletary, who people have fallen in love with over the past few weeks. Now that he's clearly the lead back in Buffalo and probably deserves to be on some teams. But yeah, Dawson Knox would be a good fit if you don't think the Bills are going to make a large run here. And maybe he just gets the ceiling game. They get behind. Singletary's basically scripted out of the game, and he just happens to catch the Josh Allen touchdowns that week.
Which is possible. We've seen Buffalo do a lot of different things in the red zone. They've gone to a lot of different players, and you're talking about ways to get leverage. I don't think this is one to be being too cute. Now, if I'm running 3-5 lineups in the playoff challenge, do I probably get to Dawson Knox? Maybe on one if I'm running five, but this is really if you're mass centering, you're trying to get more exposure to this, which I think is perfectly fine. Like, that's what you need to be doing with this playoff challenge. We talk about MME and GPPs and things like that. That's what this is. So people need to be getting exposures and spreading those exposures across their lineups. And yes, is it getting too cute to go? And I made jokes about Brandon freaking Bolden. I know this is PPR, but I'm not going that route. Like, I think that there are good ways. And Eric brought up Hunter Henry. Like, his touchdown equity in this offense is amazing. Like, the dude is leading them in end zone target share. He's leading them in red zone target share. Jonnu Smith is not a damn thing. So again, if we're looking at, okay, if Damian Harris is not scoring the touchdowns, maybe it's Hunter Henry week. And we've seen him, like, he's legit got, if you go just box score watching, he can go for above 70 yards. He can go for 80, 90 yards. He's done it this year before. He has also got multiple games on the resume with 2 touchdowns. So if he gets the ceiling game out of the way and say Harris goes down, he gets hurt. Ramadre also, we saw both of them banged up in recent weeks. Ramadre was limited last week. And this is a team that, do they want to put the ball in Mac Jones's hands and make him win them a game? No, they've shown us that all year. They don't want to do that. But if they have to, Hunter Henry is going to be going along for the ride. I mean, he's got to be less popular. Where's he at versus Dawson Knox?
I have him. He's just ahead of him at like 4%. So they're pretty close. Okay. But I would much rather play a Hunter Henry for the tight end premium, the touchdown equity, everything you just said, than Damian Harris if I think that the Patriots are going to get boat raced by the Bills, which is very possible. If you think that's a close game, then yeah, maybe you go Harris, maybe you go the New England defense. But if you think the Bills are going to score points, Bill Belichick's going to have to let Mac Jones get involved. And we've seen Hunter Henry be his favorite target near the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of different things to parse out, and you can talk about who makes the Super Bowl, their path. You can even go through like these teams and look at matchups and say, okay, AFC versus NFC, because I've done this because I'm a psycho, and say, okay, what do these defenses give up? If I'm going to the NFC, are they more pass funnels? Are they run funnels? Like, the paths for these teams, and if they get there, who are the players that are the engines that push the team forward in the playoffs? We talked about Damian Harris. We talked about Elijah Mitchell. Eric, who do you think is a guy maybe going a little bit overlooked? Before we get up into building a team, I got to get you and Chris's thoughts here. A player that you feel like is one of those sneaky engines for an offense that could be pushing a team forward, and people are like, I like him, but I don't love him.
Well, I'll give you one. Hunter Renfro, I think, is interesting in Vegas. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that, you know, we saw Darren Waller come back in week 18, which was huge because people are going to feel more comfortable playing him in this format. There's going to be a lot of people, the volume chasers, which I've probably been guilty of before too, in formats similar to this with Josh Jacobs, right? Because Josh Jacobs still catches passes. He's the goal line guy. He's going to get touches there. But Cincinnati, man, I mean, that could be a high-scoring game. And if the Raiders are fortunate enough to move on, maybe Zach Taylor calls an ill-advised timeout late in that game and allows the Raiders to move on into the divisional round. And Hunter Renfro is going to get a ton of targets. I mean, full PPR for receivers. This is a guy that and you know, the argument we were making for Burrow before, right, is that, you know, he could get by the Raiders. And then maybe he gets by the Titans. Well, couldn't you make that same argument for Hunter Renfro and the Raiders? Maybe if they win that game, maybe they also beat the Titans. And now you're looking at God knows how many targets for Hunter Renfro sitting in an AFC championship game. So I don't necessarily – I wouldn't say he's the engine that drives that team, but there's certainly been more than a few times this year where he was. And he was the guy that was keeping that team afloat, keeping that offense afloat, keeping drives alive. And Derek Carr obviously has eyes for him, mascara-covered eyes for Derek Carr, looking for Hunter Renfro. And so I think that's another guy that I think could be very compelling for your lineup.
I like that. And if you project the Raiders as being one and done, if they're playing catch-up and we're saying, okay, the Bengals just absolutely stomp them, well, then the Raiders are going to be playing catch-up. We've seen Hunter Renfro walk into 12, 14 target games this season. If they're in that type of mode, they're going to be throwing. If Waller, and I know that he played a healthy amount of snaps, he got a lot of targets, although the final stat line didn't show you that he had a good game. He got the ball, meaning played the snaps. If for any reason, and we can't just assume that he's 100% right now just because he's on the NFL field at this point in the season, Renfro could walk into a high target game. Chris, before I kick this to you, man, before we get to building this lineup, I want to, there's two guys on the tip of my tongue here, but we haven't talked about him at all this show. How popular is A.J. Brown versus even Derrick Henry or other wide receivers? Is he like, I don't want to say like mega chalk, but is he really popular or is he going a little bit overlooked, like even versus Henry in this?
So I've got A.J. Brown currently sitting around 30%. I think there's a pretty clear, obvious trend with the Titans that it's, you know, people are going to do Derrick Henry or A.J. Brown. You'll probably see some Julio sprinkled in there, maybe a Ryan Tannehill here and there. But for the most part, it's going to be A.J. Brown or Derrick Henry. And that would put him currently as the sixth most popular wide receiver, right around Tyreek Hill and Ja'Marr Chase, Deebo Samuel, CD, that group of players. I like A.J. Brown a good amount. I probably would rather use A.J. Brown than Derrick Henry. But speaking of the Titans, if I was building a couple teams, one I think I definitely want to do is to just fade the Titans altogether. No one's going to want to do that because they're a one seed. I'm not saying the Titans are a bad team, but we just brought – how many times have we already brought up that they could lose to the Bengals? They could lose to the Raiders. Even if they do win a game, They could lose to the Chiefs or Bills or whoever they end up playing in that conference championship.
Or they play like crap, like they've played, you know, for the majority of the season. Wins not right. Standing.
Exactly. We've seen them lose to multiple bad teams this season. I've got currently that only like 3% of teams aren't going to use a Tennessee player. It should be higher than that. There's a chance that people aren't going to want to do it just because they're a one seed. I think a great idea is to fade them all together, and maybe you're using, instead of fading the Steelers, you throw Deontay Johnson in there and hope that the Steelers are, well, we know they're going to be forced to pass. It's going to be Big Ben's last game. They're going to let him just chuck the ball 50 times for probably 150 yards, but maybe Deontay Johnson catches 10 passes. So I think that's actually an interesting route to go. If I was doing one single team, I'm probably not doing that. But, you know, if I'm doing, like you said earlier, 3 to 5 teams, maybe I throw one of them where I don't use A.J. Brown or Derrick Henry or anybody on the Titans.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting call, man. The other guy that was kind of off the board for me, and I know Dot talked about being too cute with fading Cooper Kupp. But again, you're talking about if you are getting exposure to multiple teams in this format, I think Sony Michel is still interesting. And people are going to be scared off him and nobody's going to play him. He's still got a ton of run last week. He's still the lead back, the red zone back for the Rams. And we've seen, look, in this offense, and I know Van Jefferson has had his time and he's got targets in previous weeks. This offense is condensed a lot. And I know Tyler Higbee's coming off of a big game. Tyler Higbee hadn't done a damn thing up until that game for the majority of the regular season. If it's not Cooper Kupp scoring the touchdowns for the Los Angeles Rams and they somehow go out and they're one and done, and Cooper Kupp playing him, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm going to be doing that. If I'm running 1-3 lineups, I'm just going to toss Cooper Kupp in there. But if I am getting exposure to a lot of different outcomes for this team and for them to win, Sony Michel can easily get 100 yards, can get multiple scores on the ground. And even looking at this week's matchup, we can run on Arizona. I've been talking about this all year long. So if the Rams somehow turtle in this spot and say, let's just run the ball. We can run the ball. We know we can run the ball. Let's run the ball with Sony Michel. It can happen. What are your thoughts on Sony Michel, Eric?
Yeah, this is interesting because they bring Cam Akers back, and I don't think a whole lot of people – this is not a Connor Edmonds situation there. To me, you look at the Rams backfield, I think still will be dominated by Michel. Can't imagine Henderson's going to come back to any kind of role if he comes back at all. And Akers still is not ready. Now, there is going to be so many Kupp teams in this that Michel makes for a fantastic variation, fantastic contrarian play. If you're going to have him on your squad, they beat the Cardinals. I know, you know, I'm in the shadows of Lambeau Field here in Northeast Wisconsin. And I know there's some analysts up here that cover the team that are nervous if the Packers end up facing the Rams in the first round or in the divisional round because of Von Miller being on the team longer, getting more acclimated. Obviously, Aaron Donald's always a terror. If that's the game plan for the Rams to beat the Packers, or the game plan for the Rams to try to beat the Packers, keep Aaron Rodgers and Adams off the field. How do you do that? A lot of Sony Michel. And so I think that can make sense. Now, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I'm strong enough of a man to say, no, thank you, Cooper Kupp. I would rather have Sony Michel instead. I don't think I could.
Well, that
do
might
that.
Also speak but, to your but, sanity, too. Well, I mean, yeah, you might not be insane. I am.
But it's not a sanity thing. It's a thing like you're going to submit one lineup. Well, yeah, it's got to be Kupp. But if you're going to submit several, yeah, maybe a Pepper and a Michel team or two in there. So, and I think that has validity, Derek, for sure.
I think it's just, it's ways that we're talking about finding leverage and looking at the main avenues for one, touchdown equity in these offenses, as well as various routes to different outcomes, because the playoffs get wild. Like, there's so many teams in these formats, and I talked about this and I brought this up earlier, but some of these running backs that are road dogs, and they're like, oh, well, they're just going to get knocked out, like the Josh Jacobs of the world. If that doesn't happen, that you're looking at contrarian plays. And Chris, I mean, before we get to this lineup build, give me a contrarian play, and then we got to get this started, man, because I'm itching. We've been talking about this for too damn long. I got to open the app. We got to build a lineup.
Sure, yeah. So think we've talked about a lot of players, a lot of contrarian guys already. One more I will throw out there is Christian Kirk for the Cardinals. I've got him at around 7 to 10% in that area. He's the leading receiver on that team. I know, Derek, I know you got some love for AJ Green, but Christian Kirk is the favorite guy of Kyler Murray outside of Ertz. And I think Ertz is a good play as well, but Kirk's going to be very underowned. That game is most likely going to be a shootout if both teams have their way. So I think Kirk makes a lot of sense. And you know, if they win and you get him for another week, he gets to go to Green Bay where they're going to have to put up points again. So I think Christian Kirk is worth talking about for a couple teams.
Well, he's a good leverage option too. I mean, you said he's coming in what, 7%? What are you projecting for Ertz?
Ertz, I have like 20-ish percent.
Okay.
The tight end premium keeps Ertz up there, which makes sense, and he's absolutely not a bad play. But I think Kirk also makes some sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense, and especially getting exposure like we're talking about to various outcomes with these offenses. And look, over the last like 3 to 4 games, Kirk's target share is not that different than Zach Ertz, especially if you're looking for splash plays and ceiling. Ertz is going to need the volume, and the format leans itself to playing the tight end. But Kirk is a good contrarian option. Chris, kick us off with this lineup, man. Who's the first player that you want to get up in here?
All right, so I'm going to – we've talked a lot about how I said earlier how your QB and your tight end are who you want to play the most games on your team. The average games played for a QB is – over the past 2 years is 2.95. For tight end, it's 2.43. I'm putting Travis Kelce in this game. I've got the Chiefs projected to play the most games this season at around 2.8. They're going to beat the Steelers. They're going to get at least a second game. They have a decent chance of getting a third game because whoever's playing them in the divisional rounds coming to Arrowhead, tough place to play. I think you don't need them to make the Super Bowl. If you can get 3 games of Travis Kelce, you're going to be in good shape. He's not going to be as popular as he should be. He should be on almost every team.
So I'm going to take the next pick here. Sorry, Eric, I don't mean to hop you.
No. Please go ahead.
But considering we talked about the priorities being and talking about ways to build your lineup, if you're going Kelce, I'm just going to take the other side of the ball. And if Tampa Bay and Kansas City face off in the Super Bowl, then you've got these two positions, Tom Brady and Travis Kelce, making the big dance. So that's where I'm going to go with my first pick. Eric, who are you picking here?
All right. So we got to pick. I'm going to take an easy one here. So I look at that Eagles Buccaneers game, right? And I think that Tampa obviously gets out to a big lead. I don't think Philly has the defense to hold them back, even without Godwin and Brown. That said, I don't necessarily want to go with Jake Elliott, and I definitely don't want to take that defense. But if it is a shootout, how do they keep up? Well, it's probably going to be a lot of Jalen Hurts to Dallas Goedert. So I'm going to take Goddard, tight end premium, as one of the flexes and put Dallas Goedert on this. Even if he only plays one game, man, he could be having a 15-target game. So I like Goddard there.
Yeah, I like that call, especially we've seen Tampa Bay being – they're vulnerable to tight ends. I would much rather attack that secondary with the tight end option or running backs in the passing game than try to go against those corners now that they're all healthy. Chris, take us around the horn here, man. Who's the next player for this lineup?
So I'm gonna hope that we do see the Bills reach to the Chiefs and give us another high-scoring game against the Chiefs and throw Stephon Diggs in here. I think, you know – last year he was one of the most popular players. 2 years ago he was also popular. He's going to be the wide receiver one for them. And when Josh Allen, you know, they get down, they're going to look to Diggs more than anybody else.
Well, I'm just going to be Captain Obvious here. I'm going to get this out of the way. I know it's a big stretch, but dear Lord, I'm just going to play Cooper Kupp.
Taking the easy
I know, shocking. I know. I'm rattling everything and destroying this lineup. But now that I went with the shocker Cooper Kupp, where are you going, Eric?
I got to represent my green and gold here. We already have a quarterback on this team. I'm going to go with the guy who's got the Uber connection with him, a guy who puts up video game numbers, maybe not as good as Cooper Kupp, but damn near close to it. And to me, at this point of our team building, the obvious Green Bay Packer, and that's Devontae Adams as our second flex.
Yeah, I like that call. Chris, where are you headed?
So we've got a lot of the popular options, and I think they're the right options. We've got Dallas Goedert as one kind of contrarian piece. I think another good one for us, especially to get this Bucks Packers conference championship that we're currently projecting. I'm going to go with Elijah Mitchell and that they upset the Cowboys.
We talked about him a lot, and I'm going to stay in the same type of vein. I've discussed him multiple times. I'm going to go Damian Harris here. We've talked about if these teams win, they advance. That's where I'm going to lean it with. Eric, who is your next pick?
Yeah, this is a tough one now. All right, so we have both our running backs. We have both our receivers. We have a tight end. We have two flexes and a quarterback. So we need two more flexes, a kicker, and a defense. All right, so we already have two tight ends. Do I want to go crazy here? I'll tell you what. Let's not go super crazy. And we'll go with a guy who could be the third, maybe even the fourth most owned Cowboy who's been struggling. But let's put Amari Cooper here on this squad as one of our flexes and hope that Prescott is going to be targeting him much more than Lamb. And even if the Niners do end up moving on, at least hopefully we get one good game out of Amari Cooper, gentlemen.
Chris, where are you going?
So we've got kicker, defense, and one more flex spot. Let's go with the Cardinals defense. Stafford's always prone to throw an interception into or make a bad decision. I think they can get some points. If they get through, fine. If they get knocked out, we just lose our defense. Not the end of the world either.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was looking at. I was debating Arizona. If you didn't go with the defense, I was debating Arizona and Pittsburgh, saying like, look, like Mahomes can turn the ball over. They do have a talented defense. It's not crazy if they get a pick six. So I was the same idea here. So what teams we got left here, fellas? We have got the Bengals and
Raiders.
Who else is left on the
Raiders,
board?
Yep, Raiders is one. And Titan. Pittsburgh. My goodness, we don't have a Titan yet.
We might be heading to that fade Titans team.
All right. Well, I'm not going to let us go there. Considering we're building one team, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Let me take AJ Brown. I'll be the chalk donkey and leave Eric to pick us a kicker, man.
Oh God. All right. So let's, let's go. So it comes down like I don't trust Boswell as far as I can throw him, and with my bad knee, I shouldn't be throwing anybody. So let's go with either Carlson or McPherson. Do we have any? Where did McPherson go to college? He was a Florida Gator, right? Or am I making that up?
Oh, you came here for expecting kicker takes out of me, man. You came to the wrong podcast, Eric.
I'm just trying to think about this for a second. All right, so let's go with Daniel Carlson and get our taste of the silver and black here as our kicker. And I think it's over. Don't even bother building any more lineups, ladies and gentlemen. We have the winner.
This is it. I mean, this is going to be the big money one. So just to run this down for the people at home, Tom Brady at quarterback, Damian Harris and Elijah Mitchell are the horses in the stable. Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, A.J. Brown, Amari Cooper, Stephon Diggs, lots of wide receivers. Matt Jones is not here, but he'd be extremely happy about that. Dallas Goedert, Travis Kelce, Daniel Carlson, and the Arizona Cardinals defense. That is a pretty lineup, fellas. I like the contrarian angles we took with that.
This is what we're talking about, though, too. Like you don't have to pick like crazy wild cards. Like, what did we do here as far as contrarian? Maybe Mitchell, Goddard, you know, would be one. Maybe Cooper and Amari Cooper, not Cooper Kupp. And I think like this is the type of lineup that usually does very well. A lot of chalk, you sprinkle in some you know, contrarian picks, and all of a sudden you're looking at a potential Super Bowl matchup where you're looking at this, I could win some serious money here. But I think that this, you know, we just threw this together, but I think that this makes a lot of sense as far as a template, not necessarily the players, but the types of players you want on your roster. This has a good chance of winning.
Absolutely, man. I like this lineup a lot. And the fact that we went with Elijah Mitchell and Damian Harris, and we're talking about paths to victories, really And a lot of that is, we talked about how Chalky and Devontae Adams and Cooper Kupp, but they make really good reasons for not playing Stafford and Rodgers in your lineups, because with so much of the production is condensed on that one player that you're essentially playing the quarterback without having to play the quarterback. So it's like, do you gravitate to other options at those positions? I love this lineup. I really do. I'm considering, I'm like, is this one of those lineups where I like, oh, screenshot and make a tweak or two off of this? Can't say it's not. Can't say it's not, man. But Eric, before we get you up out of here, man, this has been fantastic, awesome content. Plug everything that you need to be, and what you got going on, man.
Yeah, the biggest thing is obviously the time is of the essence here. If you want to get involved in the world-famous FFPC Playoff Challenge, at 4:35, I believe, is the first kickoff of the wildcard game this Saturday. At that point, everything's locked. You can't change your lineup anymore. You can't add more teams. Earlier on today, which is Wednesday, I would say around noon Central Time, 1 o'clock Eastern, we crossed the 50% threshold. And that's big, because we were not at 50% at this time last year. So it's actually, and it sold out last year. It's pacing to sell out quicker this year, even though we added more teams, even though it's paying down to 850th place now instead of 600th. You definitely want to get in on this before it sells out. And you can tweak the lineup all the way up to kickoff. My advice, go to myffpc.com, get signed up, get your teams, and then you can tweak them. You don't want to spend $200 on a team. Spend $35 on the Football Guys Playoff Challenge, and at least you still have a chance of winning, you know, life-changing money, $100,000 in that one for just $35 too. So I think that that's something that everybody should take a look at. This is our essentially one of our last events of the year, last chance to take advantage of 2021 fantasy football. And if you have never played in the FFPC before, don't go to myffpc.com. Go to myffpc.com/Eric. That's E-R-I-C. You'll get $25 credit added onto your account. So if you decide to join the Football Guys Playoff Challenge, boom, it's only going to cost you $10 and you could win $100,000. Everybody always spells my name wrong. It's E-R-I-C. I got the guys, our web guys, to add not only myffpc.com/Eric, E-R-I-C, but E-R-I-K as well. Either way you want to spell Eric, you're still going to get that promotional discount if you've never played in the FFPC before. This is one of the most fun events of the year, as Derek, I know you can attribute to. This is the perfect way to watch playoff fantasy football.
I mean, there's nothing better than watching playoff football. It's cold outside, you got the fire on and stuff, and you have sweat and equity in these games. I mean, it makes the playoffs so much more enjoyable when not only, and yes, we all talk about fandom and we have our teams and we're cheering and stuff like that, but some of these teams or these games, and you're like, outside of this, I wouldn't care if the Steelers scored one damn touchdown, but let's go, Chase Claypool! So get the sweat and enjoy all of this action, man. And you got to head over that. Use the promo code. Use the link that Eric described. Get the money free. It's $25. So you're spending $10 to sit here and get the shot at big money and life-changing events. Eric, thank you for stopping by. Chris, again, people need to head over and take a look at your article with Matt Jones. It's live on the site. It is free. Before we get up out of here, man, I got to thank you again. All of the tools that we have behind the paywall for FTN Daily, FTN Data, FTN Fantasy, powered by all of the amazing work that you are doing on a daily basis, a weekly basis, that you have been grinding for months, my friend. So appreciate the hell out of you, man. Thank you for coming on the show. And look, everybody needs to get signed up for this. If you're hearing the sound of my voice, I want you to be entering lineups into the FFPC Playoff Challenge right now. For Fade the Chalk, we're out of here.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.